Chaitanya, Chamaraya, Jayavadharma.
Shadalaya, Krishnaya, Krishna Bhaktaya, Tada Bhaktaya Namo Nama. Yam Pravarjanta Manupetama Peta Krityam Dvai Payano Viraka Taruva Juhava Putre Ditam Mayataya Taravo Badidos Tang Sarva Bhutardayam Nimanatosmi Bhaktya Vahinaya Parada Lakshay Chiptas Jakamadita Rangamadi Kripa Maitam Sharanam Prapalyam Brinde Namaste Charanaravindam Tavoyvasmi Tavoyvasmi Najivamitam Binam Iti Vigyaya Radhetam Nayamam Chanantite. First, I offer my unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipable Diksha Gurudev. Nityalila Pravishta Om Vishnupad Astotra Sata Sri Shriman Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And the same unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipable Shiksha Gurudev, Om Vishnupad Astotra Sata Sri Shrimad Srila Bhaktivedanta Narayan Goswami Maharaj, to all of our disciplic succession and all the assembled devotees. So by the mercy of all of you listeners, we are now continuing our reading of Sri Jayavadharma by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Actually, I just made my first mistake. The mistake is that I said reading. Srila Gurudev said you should not read, but you should do anusilanam. Anusilanam means the continual cultivation of Krishna consciousness to come to the point of being an exclusive servitor of Him for His exclusive pleasure. So that's what we're trying to do, is anusilanam of Sri Jayavadharma. Now we're in the midst of the sixth chapter called Nitya Dharma, Race and Caste. And why is it called Race and Caste? Because Lahiri Mahasaya's quite offensive son named Devidas Vidyaratna and his cohort Sambhunath got together many, many Brahmana, so-called scholars, smarta Brahmins, students, so-called scholars, and because he saw 2 days earlier the pure devotees in Godrum Dweep in Pradyumna Kunj speaking very respectfully and affectionately with a Muslim Qasi, therefore he became very offensive and he said, this is against Vedic Dharma for Hindus and Brahmins to associate in any intimate way with Yavanas. In fact, even looking at a Yavana, or to speak of touching a Yavana, he should immediately go to the river and take bath. So a debate now has ensued between the most eloquent and erudite leader of the smarta Brahmins, that's Chudamani, and chosen by Premdas Babaji Maharaj himself, his disciple Vaishnavadas. They're debating on what is real Vedic Dharma and what is the meaning or why Vaishnavas don't feel any hesitation to associate with Yavanas or any other caste who they themselves, these Vaishnavas, don't consider as Yavanas, but they consider them as Vaishnavas, and we'll gradually learn why. So, Vaishnava Das is explaining that one becomes free from the nature that he acquired by birth and association simply by engaging in activities of bhakti. He quoted from the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, which states that, in fact, Krishna himself states, Krishna speaking, that anyone who engages in bhakti, the activities of bhakti, he becomes free from all of his past karma. Dharmam tu shakshat bhagavat pranitam. Dharma, religion, is established by Krishna himself. Dharma follows bhakti. And so anyone who is engaged in bhakti, the embodiment of dharma, that is Krishna, becomes established in their heart, and immediately maya and all material nature that comes with maya goes away. A bhakta can never fall down again. He is free from any connection with his sinful life by birth, and the supreme destination of prema bhakti is in his grasp. Bhaktas never fall because Krishna says, I give him protection. My devotee, you can declare it to the world, O Arjuna, that my devotee never perishes. On the other hand, the karmis and the jnanis, the smartas, they'll always fall because they have no one to protect them. They're quite independent in their actions. They do what they like, and therefore they can easily fall down. Where? To the lower species of life. They're so proud of their Brahmanism, in their next life they can become a proud tiger or a proud insect. This was Srila Prabhupada's very strong teaching ever since he started ISKCON in 1966, that bhakti is transcendental to any material consideration. And he himself was being criticized by the smarta brahmanas in India, by Hinduism, the material conception of Hinduism, and by many of his godbrothers also, that why are you initiating the mlechas and the yavanas? And Srila Prabhupada was speaking on these same points, because he's a follower of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, speaking on these same points as Vaishnava Das. And I think one of our verses is Shriya Sudra, that verse. JP Janti Parangata. Krishna is saying that even if one is born in a very sinful family, even if one is a woman or a Vaishya or a Sudra, if they surrender to me, they can achieve the supreme destination. In that regard, there was a question yesterday in the class by Pankaj Prabhu, and he's asking, what is a yavana? So I found it in Srila Prabhupada's translation of Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, fourth chapter, this very wonderful verse that our Srila Prabhupada is very fond of quoting. Kirat hundan hunanja pulinda pukasa abirasambhayavana krishadaya yenyecha papa yadapasrayasaya shudhantitasmai prabhavishnave namaha. The kiratas, hunas, andras, pulindas, pukasas, abiras, Sambas, Yavanas, member of the Kasha races, and even others who are addicted to sinful acts can be purified by taking shelter of devotees of the Lord, due to His being the supreme power. I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto Him. This is Canto 2, Chapter 4, Text 18. Then in Prabhupada's purport, he gives a very elaborate purport discussing all these different classes of people, like the kiratas, they were come from a certain province in India, and the Hunas, they're from East Germany and a part of Russia, and they're sometimes a kind of hill tribe. Now when we come to the Yavanas, Yavanas are the sons of Maharaj Yayati, who was given a part of the world known as Turkey. And so the Turks are Yavanas due to being descendants of Maharaj Yavana. And they're all engaged. All of these people are engaged in sinful activities, like meat or wine, women, drugs, thievery, all these bad sinful activities. And the another prince called Trivasu was known as Yavana, and his country was conquered by Sahadev, one of the Pandavas, and the western Yavana joined with Duryodhana in the Battle of Kurukshetra under the pressure of Karna. So the Yavanas started there in India, and then Prabhupada writes, it is foretold that the Yavanas would also conquer India, and it has proved true, because now we see that India is controlled by Yavanas. In other words, it's become just like the West. So, we'll continue with the discussion with Chudamani and Vaishnava Das. So now, Chudamani is asking, in the Bhagavad Gita, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it says that bhakti comes from Shraddha. But how does the jiva get Shraddha in the first place? I don't really think that you have a very good answer, and I'm still convinced that the Sandhya Vandanas of the smarta Brahmins are better, are superior to all of your talk. So then Vaishnava Das very respectfully and humbly replies that there's different kinds of Shraddha. There's Shraddha in Varnashram, faith in Varnashram Dharma, and that comes from a certain kind of Sukriti. That comes from, Sukriti means virtuous or pious activities. And there's two kinds of Sukritis. There's Nitya Sukriti, or eternal Sukriti, and Naimittik Sukriti, or temporary and circumstantial Sukriti, material Sukriti. That is material, virtuous, pious activities. And they can only give material, temporary results. For example, you can go to heaven, but then you fall down and become a plant. Or you become very rich or whatever. Material pious activities. Just like, suppose I give in charity, in my next life I'll be rich. Suppose I open a hospital, in my next life I'll be healthy. Like that. And the results are temporary. Because in the material world I can't only do good things. I'm forced by circumstance to also do bad things, and therefore I have to suffer. Even if I step on a worm, I still have to suffer for that, even if it's accidental. So, I may be healthy because I gave money to a hospital in my past life, but if that hospital even inadvertently cured murderers, I have to suffer for that, as does the doctor. Therefore, the doctor should use all of the hard-earned wealth that he got in his curing people, because he can't ask them, now if I cure you, you promise you're not going to do anything bad? So, therefore, all of the hard-earned wealth should be used in the service of Krishna under the direction of Guru, and then there's no sinful reaction. So similarly, the person who's now healthy because he bought a hospital, he still has to be in a womb, he still has to go to school and get ridiculed by his other kids. He still has to be in complete anxiety that he can't pass his test. He still has to get old. His wife still has to leave him for another man. So the results are temporary and material. And anything material is ultimately the cause of misery. So that kind of circumstantial or temporary sukriti, which comes from our circumstantial and temporary nature, like one may be a yavana, a Muslim, or whatever, that produces faith in varnashram. And then you can come and be a brahmana, or a good kshatriya, vaishya. And when it's nitya sukriti, which as we discussed yesterday, can even be done accidentally or not knowing, like if Gurudev's on the line at the customs and somebody in front of him thinks, oh, this old man looks very weak, maybe I should let him in front of me. Or, oh, this old man looks very saintly, maybe I should let him in front of me. I get good vibes from him. I don't know why, but I do. So these are nitya sukriti. They don't know what they're doing, but it all adds up. Like, for example, there was once a rat in a temple. He wasn't really a devotee, he was just looking for food. And he jumped onto the altar and he saw the ghee wick. So he started drinking the ghee. And it just so happened that the fire, the light in the ghee wick was just about to go out. But when he started drinking the ghee, his nose caught on fire, and so he became the lamp, and he got sukriti, and he got a good spiritual opportunities in his next life. There was once a bird, and he was standing outside the temple, and he got shot by a hunter. So he has this arrow in his heart, and he started reeling and uncontrollably, you know, walking, but in a kind of reeling, faltering way. And as he did so, he unconsciously circumambulated the altar, the temple. And so he got a good birth and opportunity for devotional service in his next life. So this is nitya sukriti. There was one hunter, as it's mentioned by Vaishnavdas, one hunter unknowingly fasted all night on Shivaratri, and he also got a very good results from that. So this kind of coming from our eternal nature as soul, even unconsciously, if we observe Ekadasi, Janmashtami, somebody distributes some prasadam to us or a book to us in the street and we give a donation, we don't know what the heck it is, but we just do it, we read a few words, put it down. That's nitya sukriti. And this gradually, as it builds up, sukriti, after many, 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 many births, this turns into Shraddha. Brahmanda bhomite konya bhagyavana jeev guru krishna prasadi pai bhakti left the beach. After many, many millions of births of sukritis, then one, by the mercy of Krishna, gets association with a sad Vaishnava, sad guru, and gets the seed of bhakti, which is Shraddha. So, Shraddha, what does Shraddha mean? It means faith in the words of the Vedas and the Guru. That's the external manifestation of it. And the internal manifestation is that Shraddha is the characteristic function of the heart that has a tendency to serve Krishna. And that's free from karma and gyan. This is pure Shraddha. And that pure Shraddha is there in the stage of Sadhu Sangha, it's there in the stage of Nista, it's there in the stage of Asakti, Rati, Prem. It's there in the stage of Mahabhava, and it's there in the stage of Srimati Radhika's Madanaki Mahabhava. She is the topmost Shraddha. And therefore, pure Shraddha is none different from pure bhakti, anyavilasita sunyam, because that's the continual engagement of the heart's manifested activities in the exclusive service of Krishna for his pleasure, which is not covered by desire for fruitive activities or impersonal liberation. And that's also, this definition of Shraddha is given in the Amnaya Sutra. And as Srila Gurudev often says, it's the smallest fraction of praying And one who's actually situated in pure shraddha, he'll never fall down again. So one who has this shraddha, he's convinced that just hearing the shastra and sadhu sangha is my only welfare. I have no other welfare. I'm not going to get any welfare from cultivation of mundane or impersonal spiritual knowledge or by engaging in any karmic activity. And he's thinking, my only shelter is Lord Hari. Now, what's synonymous and what qualifies one for this shraddha is sharanagati, as we discussed yesterday. The six kinds of surrender to the Lord. Now, Chudamani is not particularly crazy about this answer, and it brings up another doubt, because he doesn't have enough nitya sukritis to understand, right? So he says, now, these virtuous acts called satkarma, that gives shraddha. He didn't really hear what Vaishnavadas said. But the Muslims, like this Kasi is a Muslim, the Muslims, they're not qualified to do satkarma of varnashram, so how are they eligible for bhakti, which you say is greater? So Vaishnavadas says, it's true that from the point of view, there's two points of view. There's the point of view of social custom, of mundane varnashram and mundane social consideration by mundane people. So from that point of view, yes, they can't engage in the activities of varnashram from their point of view. But from the bhakti point of view, the paramarthic or transcendental point of view, then Vaishnavas quotes the verse, bhakti stu bhagavata bhakti sangena parijayate satsanga labhite pumbir sukritai purvasansvatai. By many, many millions of verses of nitya sukriti, known or unknown, one gets the association of bhaktis. And by the association of bhaktis, one gradually becomes more and more conscious of what he's doing, and his sukritis become more and more intentional, and then he gets pure bhakti. Now, Srila Gurudeva and Srila Prabhupada have explained that before Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the world and India especially, was overrun by these smarta brahmins and sahajiyas in the name of Vedic Dharma. And so no respectable gentleman or aristocracy could even bear to hear the name Gaudiya Sampradaya, what to speak of, associate with anybody in it. Just like bad people give a group a bad name. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur re-established the respectability of Gaudiya Sampradaya and true Vaishnava Dharma, as we can see he's doing here, separating the two, the false from the real. And in the modern times, he is the re-establisher of the respectability for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy. Now Vaishnavadas says, he explains that there's two kinds of sukritis. Nitya sukriti, which gives the eternal fruit, and naimittik sukriti, which is also called anitya sukriti, or temporary sukriti, which is motivated by material sense gratification, liberation, and it's dependent on a cause. The cause is all these material desires, whereas nitya sukriti is not causal like that. Their desire is either material sense gratification or impersonal liberation, and therefore it can't give any eternal fruit. Bhakti is eternal. Then he explains that by association with Maya, the jivas are in bondage. And then, this is so interesting, such an interesting point. He says that their conception of mukti, which is, what is that verse that Devi Das reply to Vaishnava Das when he says, Vaishnava Das asked, what is your conception of mukti? So he said, my conception of mukti, or the Brahman conception of mukti, is freedom from all material miseries. This is mukti. And he quoted one Shastric verse. Atyanta dukkha nivritti. This is mukti, becoming free from all the material miseries. So Vaishnava Das is now saying, it's very humorous actually, mukti, which is the dissolution of this bondage, according to the Smarta Brahmins, this release just takes 1 minute. You know, 1 minute you're in bondage, the next minute you're not. And then all considerations end there. That's the end. You just have mukti. You just have. So it's just really, it's just a negative thing. Achanta dukkha nivritti. It's finished. The misery is finished. And now it's like blank. So therefore, it was, number one, it was caused by the desire to be free from misery and, you know, merge into the impersonal, whatever that means. And it's only temporary, because yena ravindaksha vimuktamaninas, that one may get impersonal liberation, but then again, because he doesn't have the shelter of Krishna, like if somebody's going to another planet and he's just circling the earth, but he doesn't reach the other planet, he has to come back to earth. That's Prabhupada's analogy. But if somebody achieves in the realm of bhakti, if they achieve rati, or bhav, which is actually really the beginning of bhakti, Before that, it's either a semblance of bhakti, a shadow of bhakti, or so-called bhakti. So when one achieves bhav, that is eternal. And that is called nitya-dharma. And from that point, it just increases unlimitedly, all the time. Bhakti is the eternal truth. Bhakti is the nitya-dharma, the eternal dharma, the prema dharma, sanatana dharma, bhagavat dharma, Vaishnav Dharma. Then he quotes from the Mandakya Upanishad that one who serves that absolute truth, that Vastava Vastu, that who's beyond karma, and surrenders his body, mind, and words under the guidance of a guru, he becomes free from all material considerations, and he achieves the supreme truth. Then that verse is quoted, Tasmad Gurum Prabhadyeta Jayesu Sreya Uttama, one who's actually serious to inquire what is the absolute truth, who doesn't want to be cheated. He doesn't want to be cheated. He's serious to inquire. He should accept a guru who is fully realized in all the scriptures, who is fully detached from material desires and anxiety, and who knows all the scriptures, is detached, and is realized in Brahman. That means he knows Krishna. That means he's a friend of Krishna. He's at least in Bhava Bhakti, which means he's getting spurtis, and he has a section of his life called internal consciousness, wherein his eternally conceived spiritual form, he's serving personally. Then the very beautiful verse that Srila Prabhupada very often quotes, Tad vijyanartam sa gurum evam abhigachet samit pani shrotiam brahmanistam. This should be our verses that we're memorizing. I don't know what the syllabus says, but even if it doesn't say these verses are essential for our own understanding of bhakti and our relationship with Guru and our preaching. So the meaning of that is that it's essential. It's not optional. Gurum evam abhigachet. It's not optional. One must accept a bona fide Guru and learn the transcendental science from him. He should carry wood for fire sacrifices.
which means that he should surrender his body, mind, and words to that guru. Which guru? Whose srotiyam brahmanistam. He's heard from his guru in a pure way, and now brahmanistam, now he's realized in what he's heard. So, what is Jivadharma? What is this book, Jivadharma? Srila Gurudev, wherever he goes around the world, he has a devotee stand up and explain elaborately the verse Anyavilasita Sunyam Jnana Karmadyanavritam Anukulyena Krishna Anusivanam Bhaktirutamam, which is the we see is synonymous really with pure unadulterated Shraddha. That is the uninterrupted flow of activities of the body, mind, words, and sentiments of the heart, which is compared with an unbroken stream of honey from a jar. It's uninterrupted. And it's not covered by desire to enjoy the fruits of one's activities, nor is it covered by cultivation of knowledge in the pursuit of impersonal liberation, or by yoga, or by any other material desire. And it's performed continually under the guidance of a self-realized soul for the exclusive purpose of giving satisfaction and happiness to Krishna. So, what is the book Jivadharma? It's nothing but an explanation of this verse. The whole book Jivadharma. What is Jivadharma? Jivadharma means the eternal function of the jiva. And what is that? Prema Dharma. So therefore, Jivadharma is an explanation of this verse, Anyavilasita Sunyam. And we can see, because in all these debates, or all these sincere inquiries, the discussion is, what is real bhakti as opposed to false bhakti? What is real dharma as opposed to false dharma? What is eternal dharma as opposed to limited temporary dharma? So it's all within this beautiful verse. Now, who is Bhaktivinoda Thakura? Namo Bhaktivinodaya Sachidananda Namane Gaura Shakti Swarupaya Rupanuga Varayate. Namo Bhaktivinoda Sachidananda Namane Gaura Shakti. He's the manifestation of Sri Gadadhara Pandit, the transcendental energy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or Srimati Radhika, the supreme, complete spiritual energy of Krishna. And Rupa Nuga Varayate, that means he's the topmost follower of Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami is the one who gave this very best definition of bhakti, Anyavilasita Sunyam. So, just stands to reason that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur would write the Jivadharma, which is the perfect and most complete explanation of this verse. So karma and gyan, as explained by Vaishnava Das, karma and gyan and yoga, they can engage one in nanitic sukritis. And association with pure devotees and engagement in bhakti activities, knowing or unknowingly, this is nitya sukriti. Nitya sukriti, after many, many lives, gives shraddha. And non-nitya sukriti, after many, many lives, gives all kinds of other things, but not bhakti. Now Chudamani says, please tell me clearly, you mentioned the word, O Vaishnava Das, you mentioned the word bhakta kriya sangha. That means acts of devotion. What kind of sukriti gives that? Gives bhakta kriya sangha. So Vaishnava Das replied, what I mean is, If you have sadhu sangha, this is bhakti sangha. Hearing from the pure devotee, talking with him, serving him, these kind of acts is nitya sukriti or bhakti kriya sangha. That is, you can clean the temple, you can offer tulsi a lamp, you can observe Ekadasi, Janmashtami, Ram Navami, knowingly or unknowingly. Now, this kind of activity, bhakti kriya sangha, because it's in relation to the supreme vastu, that is Sri Krishna himself. Therefore, these kind of activities have the potency to nourish bhakti, even if one does them indifferently. And then Vaishnava Das quotes the very beautiful verse, which also Shamarani Teacherji requests all the students to learn, because this verse is in our Gaudiya Giti Gutch songbook in the Mangalacharana section. And Gurudev often quotes it. Madhura Madhura Meitam, you can see it on page 125. Madhura Madhura Meitam Mangalam Mangalanam Sakala Nigama Bali Satpalam Chitsurupam Sakadapi Parigitam Shadaya Hilayava Biguvaranaramatram Tarayat Krishna Nama. Sri Krishna's name is the sweetest among all sweet things, and it stands supreme among all that is auspicious. It is the eternal, fully ripened spiritual fruit of the wish-fulfilling tree of the Vedas. O best of the Bhigus, Sri Krishna Nam awards immediate deliverance from the ocean of material existence to anyone who offenselessly chants even once, either with faith or without faith. So therefore, Prabhupada used to say that when you go out on Harinam, Nagar Sankirtan, even if the people hate hearing you, they're still getting unintentional spiritual pious credits. Or if somebody gets a book and they see, what is this nonsense? Okay, I've given some donation. Let me see, what is this nonsense I've just got? They're getting nitya sukriti, even if they don't like it. Prabhupada said, even if they don't like what they're reading, it's still in the category of smarnam. Thinking about it, and they get purified by that. There was one, Prabhupada told us once in Boston, there was one thief, and this thief just, by happenstance, you could say, he happened to pass by a Srimad Bhagavatam class in one of the villages, and the teacher was speaking about how Krishna would be decorated by Mother Yasoda in beautiful ornaments and go out into the forest of Vrindavan and play. So the thief, he had sinful, nimitic, sinful nature and activities. So not nimitic, just sinful activities. And so he, his desire was to steal, but he also had some nitya Sukritis from the past that brought him to the Bhagavatam class, and which also allowed him to have the faith that Krishna is a real person when they were telling the story, the Leela. So he thought, I've got to find that Krishna and get his jewelry. So looking and looking, Krishna did appear to him, and he still, his interest was getting the jewels. So he said, oh, Krishna, you're such a sweet, nice little boy. Why don't you give me those jewels to look at? So Krishna said, no, I can't. Mother Yasoda wouldn't let me. And he was trying to convince Krishna in sweet words. But Krishna is so sweet that by associating with Krishna, he just fell at Krishna's feet and surrendered, and he became a real devotee. So this is nitya sukriti. So if one gets the opportunity to chant or
anything, get Mahaprasadam, any connection, he can come to bhakti. So the Muslim birth, the birth as a Muslim, came from temporary impious deeds. But at the same time, that same person could have done Nitya Sukriti. He's doing his impious deeds in his past life, but by the will of the Lord and by his previous Nitya Sukriti, he did some more Nitya Sukriti, and that gave him faith in pure bhakti. Or if you want to hear the Hindi, as in Jiva Dharma, Shraddha in Ananya Bhakti. So then Chudamani says, okay, well that's really my question. Chudamani said, yeah, you got it now. This is my question. If there is such a thing as Sukriti, and that Sukriti nourishes bhakti, that Sukriti has to come from other Sukriti, previous to that Sukriti. But the Muslims, they don't have any Sukritis. Of course, you can understand that this Chudamani, he's thinking of the Muslim only as, like, he started existing in this Muslim life, and then everything's finished at the end. But really, the Muslim had many, many previous lives, not always as a Muslim. He could have been a demigod. So, he's saying the Muslim has no such Sukritis. So Vaishnava Das says, absolutely false. This is untrue. Because Nitya Sukritis and Naimittik Sukritis, which you're talking about, okay, in this life, you don't even know about past life, but let's just say this life. In this life, he doesn't have any Naimittik Sukritis, that is, material pious activities that would qualify him for being in Varnashram, okay. But that doesn't mean he didn't do any Nitya Sukritis in this life or in many previous lives. They're not dependent on each other. That is, Nitya Sukriti is not dependent on Naimittik Sukriti or vice versa. So then Chudamani says, but then doesn't Nitya Karma come by chance? So you're saying, well, okay, just throw your hands up and say the whole thing comes by chance. So Vaishnava Dharma says, well, in one hand you can say that everything comes by chance. And our whole entrance into this world of karma, you could say also happened by a chance occurrence. And what is that chance occurrence? The chance occurrence is that because we forgot Krishna, that was the occurrence. And therefore, Maya grabbed us and is giving us all kinds of bodies. And then, if you go to page 127, I'm sorry, not 127. I think it's 126. Very nice verse in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhava pavargo brahmato yada bhavet chanasya tarya chuta satsamagama satsangamo yahi todaiva sadgato paravadeshe tvai jayate hati. O Sri Achyuta, you are eternally situated in your original spiritual form. The jiva has been wandering in the cycle of birth and death since time without beginning. Now, this is very significant, and Srila Gurudev quoted this last year in Italy, in talking about the importance of sadhu sangha. The jiva has been wandering in the cycle of birth and death since time without beginning. When the time for his release from this cycle approaches, this coming to the release is characterized by his obtaining satsanga, sadhu sangha, and through this he becomes firmly attached to you, who are the supreme goal of attainment for the sadhus and the controller of both spirit and matter. So this is Vaishnava Das, is one of his many evidences that by doing Bhakti Kriya Sangha, activities of bhakti in association of bhaktas. Then he quotes the verse that everybody should know by heart.
Gurudeva.
Our Prabhupada both always quote it. Satam prasangam mama virya sambhido bhavanti ritkarna dasayana kuta tajjo sanajas vipavarga vartmani shradaratir bhakti anukramishyati. As a result of full-hearted association with Shuddha Bhaktas, one gets the opportunity to hear descriptions of my heroic deeds, this is spoken by Kapila Dev to his mother, which are like nectarian tonic for the ears and the heart. By repeatedly relishing those topics through hearing and contemplation, not just hearing, but contemplation, Vaishnava Das is quoting later on that if one hears from the pure devotee and then contemplates something else, and reads something else, if he gets initiated, suppose he gets second initiation, now he's become a Brahmin. Prabhupada said, don't become a Brahmin in name only. Now you have to read the Vedas, contemplate, study it under the guidance of the Guru. If you get initiated and then you start reading books of economic development, all kinds of stuff like that, then you're not a Brahmin at all, but you're a Sudra, even though you got the Brahminical initiation. So, by repeatedly relishing those topics through hearing and contemplation, one quickly and successively attains Shraddha, Rati, and Prema Bhakti towards me. So it doesn't depend on the nimittic activities, but in the Nitya Sukriti, and then the Bhakta, Kriya, Sangha, the association with devotees, and engaging in activities of Bhakti. So then, Chidamani says, are you trying to say that there's no difference between an Aryan, that means one who's following Vedic Dharma, and a Yavana? Is that what you're trying to tell me? So Vaishnava Das says, well, it depends on how you look at it. There is a difference and there's not a difference. In terms of social custom and material consideration, there is a difference. Just like Prabhupada would always try to save the poor ladies of the world and say, don't try to become equal to men on the material platform. It'll never happen. You can never be the one to not be pregnant and the man to be pregnant. Don't try to be equal. What does it mean, don't try to be equal? Don't try to have equal rights? It means don't think that you can go out in society totally unprotected in a bunch of rude and crude men and expect to not get abused and exploited. Be protected. So, he says, yes, there's a difference materially, but on the transcendental platform, there's no difference. So Chudamani said, will you stop showing off already? You just keep throwing out this transcendental stuff and using, Sanskrit words and saying words that I don't understand. Just speak for a change. Tell me what you mean by practical difference, that there's no practical difference. So Vaishnava Das, I'm sorry, that there is a practical difference, but not a spiritual difference. So Vaishnava Das said, what I mean by practical difference is that according to worldly customs, there's a difference, as I explained earlier. But, and from a worldly consideration, the Yavana is untouchable, you shouldn't drink his water, you shouldn't eat his food, and all that. So then Chudamani says, but how is there no difference? What do you mean by that? So Vaishnava Das said, he's again quoting this verse, Bhrigu Varanara Matram Tarayat Krishna Nama. That the holy name delivers all, that's A-L-L, all, including Yavanas, because Yavanas are part of the all. Those devoid, in fact, now Vaishnava Das is getting very, even stronger, stronger and stronger. He says, in fact, those who are devoid of the Nitya Sukriti that was previously mentioned, they're not only not Brahmins, but they're not even humans, they're two-legged animals. They're not human. Those who have no faith in Krishna Nam, he's an animal. And he always quotes verses for whatever he says. Then he quoted Mahaprasade Govinde Nama Brahmane Vaishnave Sopapannimbata Rajan Vishvaso Naivachayate.
One who has very meager pious activities, he can never have faith in Mahaprasad, in Govinda, in a name, or anything transcendental. Naitik Sukritis are insignificant. They have no power to give anything eternal. And Chudamani said, how strange this all sounds. You Vaishnavas are so fanatic. How can you say that rice and dal give you spiritual awareness? You Vaishnavas are pretty weird. So, Srila Gurudev said, even if somebody's very offensive, even offensive to your Gurudev, don't just start becoming like a madman and being angry and all that. You may be angry inside, but externally you should be very sweet and sounding respectful and destroy all of his arguments. So a very sweet being, respectfully, Vaishnava Das said, okay, whatever you do, you can do anything, but don't criticize Vaishnavas. That's my humble request. In a debate, you argue the points, not the people. Mahaprasadam gives spiritual consciousness. It dissolves material nature. It can even dissolve into material emotions. In fact, according to scripture, in fact, even according to Krishna, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, those who eat foods that are first offered to me, I relieve him of all sinful reactions. And, conversely, those who eat foodstuffs that are not first offered to me are verily eating only sin. Therefore, Mahaprasadam is the only acceptable food in the whole world. And then he quotes Isa Upanishad that one should only accept those things that are given to you as Krishna Prasadam. Right, so Chudamani can't answer anything because Vaishnava Das concluded that it's very unfortunate for you that you have no faith in Krishna's mercy in the form of Mahaprasadam or in the form of any of Krishna's mercy. So Chudamani said, because he can't argue the point. Okay, let's just drop this subject. Let's just go back to the original question, which is, what kind of behavior do you Vaishnavas have with the Yavanas? So Vaishnavas Das said, because Vaishnavas are so clever, they're so brilliant, they give such great answers. I remember one time somebody said to Prabhupada, how do you make this very complex, deep and profound philosophy sound so simple? So Prabhupada said, because it's simple. God is great, you are not great, therefore, you are not God, so you should surrender to God. Somebody asked, why is this material energy here? You know, all this material existence. So Prabhupada answered very simply, because God is there, therefore his energy is there. And this is one of his energies. So Vaishnava Das replied, if one is a Yavana, we are indifferent to him. We don't associate with him. However, if by performance of Nitya Sukritis one becomes a bhakta, he's no longer a Yavana. And we don't even think he's a Yavana, we think he's a Vaishnava. And then he quoted the Padma Purana, which says that anyone who thinks that a Vaishnava is any kind of material designation, low, sudra, outcast, oh, in this regard, he's a resident of hell. In this regard, I would like to humbly recommend a very beautiful homework assignment, if you haven't already done this homework assignment, which is that you go to the Google search in Pure Bhakti and press words like Striya Sudra, Vaisha, or Holland, or Less Intelligent, or anything like that, and come up with the lecture that Gurudev gave in Holland in July of 2005. Oh, or you can go by, list. You can scroll down the list. What was the lecture called?
You can go
down the list according to date and go 05 July, Holland. And then you'll see an article called Defending Prabhupada's Integrity and Gurudev's lecture called something about Prabhupada's books. I forget what it was. You'll recognize it.
Yeah.
So there, Gurudev is discussing all these points. Then Vaishnava Das quotes from the Hari Bhakti Vilas, which states that if a born Brahmana has no bhakti, and is not a devotee of Lord Vishnu, he's not dear to me. He's not dear to the Lord. But even a dog eater, if he's a devotee, he's not truly a dog. Don't get me wrong.
He's from a dog eater family.
He's very dear to the Lord. In fact, Krishna says, this person, even if he's from a family of dog eaters, Parameshri Prabhu, you were asking yesterday, if somebody's in a born a low family, can he attain bhakti in one birth? So Krishna says, even if he's born in a family of dog eaters, he becomes as worshipable as me if he's actually a pure devotee. And can become a pure devotee. And one should accept anything that he offers, water, food, whatever. So these are Krishna's words on Yajnas. So Chudamani, the first verse, in fact the only verse that he quoted in the whole discussion, was this verse from Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, Apichet Sudaracharam. So now Chudamani says, then, what about this? Can a Vaishnava marry a Yavana? So again, Vaishnava Das is answering in two ways. If one is attached to one is a grihastha and he's attached to family consideration, he's thinking about this body and this my relatives, then it's better not to have a mixed marriage of Vaishnava and non-Vaishnava. Because then there'll be so much fighting in the family and you won't be able to tolerate it. But if one actually is detached and has no bodily consideration, then he doesn't have to follow social etiquette. Then he should accept whatever is favorable for his bhakti and reject whatever is unfavorable. Sometimes a grihastha, if the grihastha is not a pure devotee, he can't do that. He can't, even if something's bad for his bhakti and he knows it's bad for his bhakti, because of attachment to family identification, he can't do it. He has to consider social customs. But if he's advanced enough to be detached, then he can go beyond social customs. He has full faith that my only perfection is bhakti, and I'm not going to get perfection or happiness by any other means, then he can go beyond social customs. And now Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives, and by the grace of Vaishnava Das, we get a whole new understanding of the verse Sarvadhammam Paricharya. When Krishna says, abandon all dharmas, all religious activities, and just surrender them to me, and in return I will free you from all sinful reactions. So here's, just by a slight, subtle change of the words, here we get Krishna saying, abandon all namitic dharma, all material religious activities, and just surrender to me, and in return I'll deliver you from the sin of giving up your varnashram duties, your material varnashram duties. Because otherwise it's a sin to give up namitic dharma. And B, what's the other thing that's not namitik? It's vikarma. Again, sinful. So Krishna says, give up your namitik dharma, which is circumstantial, materially motivated, temporary, and do nitya dharma, param dharma, and bhagavad dharma, sanatan dharma, prem dharma, vaishnav dharma,
And in return, I'll deliver you from all the sinful reactions of giving up your Mamatic Dharma. Your duties in that. So then, Chudamani says, do you mean to say that you can eat and drink with a yavana? Is that what you're trying to say? That you would dare to do that? And Vaishnava Das said, well, according to social customs, if one leaves social customs and is not dependent on social customs because he's pure, he's called the Nirapeksha. And he has no needs. He's independent. He does Manasi Seva, Seva within his mind. Because Chudamani also asked, do you mean to say that a Vaishnava Yavana has all these great qualities? Then I would ask, how is it that he can't serve the deity in the temple? So Vaishnava Das is answering both those questions, that a Vaishnava is beyond social considerations. So he can honor Mahaprasad with anybody, with a yavana, just like devotees go out and they distribute Mahaprasadam and they have picnics with the non-devotees. They distribute prasadam. They invite non-devotees to the temple and they share prasadam. They have free prasadam days at their temple and all the poor people can come and take prasadam. Why? Because it's Mahaprasadam. The act is transcendental. A grihastha who's attached to family considerations, that means not all grihasthas are attached to family considerations, but a grihastha, comma, who is... No, comma. A grihastha who is attached to family considerations, he shouldn't eat abnormal, karmi food with a yavana, because then he might get contaminated. From a material point of view, although, actually speaking, all material food is contaminating anyway, even if you don't eat it with anybody. The whole thing is contaminating, actually. But for Mahaprasadam, it's not only okay for a grihastha to honor Mahaprasad with anybody and everybody, but it's his duty. And regarding his inability to worship the deity in the temple, it's not an inability or it's not a law against it, but what it is he's absorbed in Manasi Seva. He's free to worship in his internally conceived form within his heart. So if he's engaged in worshiping in the temple, then his worship becomes dependent on the external activities. But of course we find that pure devotees like Prabhupada and Gurudev and Gopal Bhatti Goswami, they also worship the deities. And that's also to show us, because they have no need to worship the deity. Though when they see the deity, they see Krishna himself and they love the deity and they weep and they faint. But there's no need to depend on the external deity worship and the rules and regulations of deity worship. So if a grihastha who's on the bodily platform, if he breaks the rules and regulations of varnashram, he also is not qualified. It's not just that a yavana is not qualified to worship a deity, but a yavana, ex-yavana, who's now a Vaishnava, he's more than qualified to worship a deity. But he may not, because he's absorbed in Manasi Seva. Here we're talking about really pure Uttama Vaishnavas. Just like Srila Prabhupada and Srila Gurudev both established Westerners on the altar in Indian temples. And the Hindu and Smarta Brahmana sections of India, they criticized Prabhupada and Gurudev. In fact, the Gaudiya Vedanta Samiti criticized Gurudev for having Westerners on the altar. And I thought it was a very innocent thing when Gurudev had asked me about maybe 3 years ago when we were in Navadvipa Dham Parikrama. He asked me to paint his Gurudev, the deity of his Gurudev on the altar. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's Murti. The two different altars of the Devananda Gaudiya Math in Navadvipa. So I thought, okay, he's just asking me. He's already asked me to paint different deities in other places, so, you know, he's just innocently asking me now. Little did I know that he knew that there was going to be an uproar about it from the Gaudiya Vedanta Samiti, not only leaders, but followers, because of this conception, this Smarta Brahman conception. So, actually, both Murtis were black and scratched, and all the paint was off, and it hadn't been painted in years. So, even though I'm not a good painter, at least it was better than before. But when I would be going to the altar, they would call out to me, "You're impure! Get off the altar!" And I said, "I can't. Gurudev told me to be on the altar." So they went to him in a fury, and they went to Mata Maharaj. Mata Maharaj said, "Yes, she's supposed to be on the altar." And then after, days later, they criticized Gurudev. So he's establishing pure Vaishnava Dharma. So we find that Srila Prabhupada